At the beginning of his ministry, Jesus presented himself to his cousin John for baptism. The heavens were opened, the Holy Spirit came upon him like a dove, and then God said, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." The baptism of the Lord is celebrated every January. As Christians, we not only remember the baptism of Jesus, but we also remember that we are baptized into Christ and called to live out the meaning of that baptism on a daily basis. For over a millennia, the festival of the baptism of the Lord has also been known as the Feast of Light. Not to be confused with the Festival of Lights. There are many cultures and religions that observe something akin to a festival of lights. Hindus, Sikhs, and Buddhists around the world observe a kind of festival of lights. In Judaism, you have a festival of lights, although it's usually called Hanukkah. Many communities around the United States have a festival of lights. Typically, this is a way to celebrate Christmas without having to say Christmas. Battle Creek's International Festival of Lights was from November 18th through December 31st of this past year. But I'm talking about the Feast of Light. Light has been associated with baptism from the beginning. Although the New Testament does not mention an occurrence of something unusual associated with light at the baptism of Jesus, all four Gospels use the phrase, "and the heavens opened." And Christians have traditionally understood this to mean, among other things, that light burst forth from the heavens. The vast majority of Christians around the world use a ritual with water called baptism to represent entrance to or identification with the church. Baptism is identification with the church. The word, as it is used in the New Testament, represents a great many other things as well, including the light of God. The light of baptism points us to God. In fact, John says, God is light. We should consider the different qualities of light and how thinking about them leads us to think about who God is and what God is doing in our lives. God is light. Now, we can only see a small portion of the light spectrum. There's ultraviolet light. We can't see that. There's visible light, and we can see a variety of colors in visible light. And then there's infrared light, and we can't see infrared light. But just because you can't see something doesn't mean it's not there. The Bible says, God dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see, just like ultraviolet or infrared. But on the other hand, Jesus is visible, is the visible representation of the invisible God. We get to see God's light in him. In a manner of speaking, then, God is like ultraviolet light, The Holy Spirit is like infrared light, and Jesus, the Son of God, is the visible light. In a purely practical sense, physical light is probably one of the greatest gifts that God ever gave humanity. We owe much to the physical light we use to discover the knowledge we have. We use light to find things, things we need to survive, things that bring us comfort. If it weren't for light, we'd never see all the textures, shapes, and colors in the world around us. In fact, physical light is so important to our existence that some cultures worship it. But that is idolatry. God is like light because he created it. But he's not the same thing as his creation. We thank God for the sun and for the light, but we don't worship the sun. We worship the creator, the maker of the sun. Light is a symbol for many abstract ideas like truth or goodness or understanding. Darkness, on the other hand, often symbolizes just the opposite. Think of Star Wars, all right? And the Force. Luke Skywalker served the Force. But there was also the dark side, which Darth Vader served. One was to be good, one was to be evil. But in Star Wars, the dark side is part of the Force. Whereas the Bible makes it clear, there is no dark side to God. God is completely good. God is light. And he sent Jesus to be the light of the world. John describes the reception Jesus Christ, the light of the world, received. And there's a note of sadness in his words. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. Isn't that strange? Jesus is obviously the light. He shines the way out of sin and misery. He shines us into a joyful and loving life with God and neighbor. And yet so many people then and now reject him. Why is that? Well, one reason could be that Jesus and the light he brings is so different from what people are used to. When people have thought and behaved in a certain way their whole life, and that's all that they know, it's hard to change. Faith in Christ, the light, means following a new and different path. But new things can be scary. Ask any church member, how many Presbyterians does it take to change a light bulb? And the answer you'll get is, change? Now, those of you who are relatively new to First Press probably don't realize that that joke is at least 14 years old. It's the first one I told here. Thing is, it's still true. We're afraid to change. You would think that if your old beliefs and way of life mean misery and no hope, then you'd be highly motivated to change. It's not very bright to want to stay with them, but here's the thing. The devil we know is often preferred over the devil we don't know, that is, the unknown. Speaking of light, bright is another way of describing the light of God. People who reject the light live in the death and darkness of sin. The Bible says it this way, "This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil." Have you noticed that most crimes take place in the dark? Theft and murder happen in dark places. Adultery happens in secrecy. Unscrupulous politicians want to put the limelight on the good things they do, but work overtime to hide the bad things they do. Jesus is the light of God, and as the light of God, offers forgiveness and eternal life to all who repent and receive him by faith. But repentance means turning from the darkness, putting away sin and evil, and doing things God's way. Many people aren't too keen on this. Oh, they like the forgiveness and the eternal life part. They just don't like giving up the whole evil part. Don't like repentance. So they remain in the dark. But you and I know that God works in mysterious ways. And who knows what day the Holy Spirit might come into them and light that spark and bring them to faith. As I indicated earlier, one of the things we associate with baptism is that God is light and he sent his Son into the world to be the light of the world. Jesus is not like a flashlight, okay? He's a light in a different way. You know, sometimes we speak of light like a flashlight or a fixture. And these are useful. You know, if it's dark out, and you're trying to find your way, or if you're like me, you've dropped something in the dark, and you're trying to find it, hey, turning on the light really helps in finding what you dropped. Sometimes we speak of light as a metaphor for, you know, coming to some understanding. You know, we think about a problem and it eludes us for a while, and then suddenly the answer comes to us. And what phrase do we say? It's like a light bulb went on in our heads, right? That kind of imagery. But Jesus is light in a different way. Jesus is the light of righteousness. Our sins are like darkness, and we're lost in that darkness. Through the light of Jesus, our sins are forgiven. He shines the light. He shines the way to heaven. His light shows us how to live a life that pleases God. Now, can a flashlight do that? Can a flashlight show you how to have your sins forgiven? How to find eternal life? How to follow Jesus? No, of course not. Flashlights can't do that. But Jesus can. He can show us God, and he can show us a life that really matters. When you trust in Jesus, the light, then you start shining with his light. And people see Jesus in you and are drawn to the light. Remembering your baptism conveys all this and a whole lot more. Many churches provide a candle for a person being baptized or the parents of the one being baptized. It can serve as a reminder of the blessed day. Some people light this candle for a few minutes on the anniversary of the baptism. Others might light the candle again to mark other significant moments in the person's life. Confirmation, graduation, marriage, or maybe a time that was particularly troublesome and difficult. They light the light of the candle to encourage them to have hope. Now, baptism candles are not necessarily a part of our Presbyterian and Reformed heritage. But we are among those churches who strongly emphasize the need for the renewal of baptism. And because our theme today is God is light, we thought the appropriate token would be votive candles with a holder to remind you of this experience. Then, after you take this home, you could light this candle on the anniversary of your particular baptism, if you remember that. Most of you don't. Or you could light it on the baptism of the Lord Sunday, which occurs every January. Or some other situation where you just want to remember and be refreshed and find renewal in the meaning of your baptism, in God claiming you and never letting you go. When you light your candle at home, I encourage you to offer a prayer. And if you look in your bulletins, I have provided a sample in the back of the bookmark that you could use or use it as a guide. It's a prayer for remembrance of baptism. Jesus sums it up this way. This is from Matthew 5, 14 through 16. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there, on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven.
The power of baptism is not in the water, but in the grace of God. By the grace of God, through faith.